Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 41-33 loss to the Cowboys. The Niners dropped out of playoff contention, now at 5-9 in the season. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the 49ers are now out of the playoff hunt as they lose to the Cowboys 41-33. And this game just did not start out well. And it's hard when you have a start like this where you have some turnovers early to really recover from it. And, you know, the Niners ended up with 4 turnovers in this game that led to 24 points for the Cowboys. It's almost impossible to win when you put yourself behind the 8-ball like that, isn't it?
Nearly impossible, but They came back. I'm sitting here before you just called me, looking at the stats, and they I'm jokingly going to say this, they won every category,
which is amazing. I mean, yeah,
they played really well. 458 total yards.
458 to 291. Yeah.
I mean, so good. Ran the ball 36 times, threw the ball 43 times, and that was only skewed at the end with Beathard. That was a hard one.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show that you have to protect the football, because otherwise you absolutely win this game.
Absolutely win this game. And I unfortunately had this, you know, like, okay, we turned the ball over early. Okay, maybe we're done. Now we're just, you know, we're going, no more turnovers. And then, you know, the play action pass, the linebacker gets them. There's nothing holding that linebacker on the backside when they show the replay. And it just, he's going to get you. He's lurking back there. He's got nothing to cover on the backside, you know, to your kind of to the quarterback's left, his right, and he jumps up and bites you.
Yeah, that was intended for Jordan Reed, and it was definitely late on that throw.
Which unfortunately seems to be his to be Mullen's MO.
Yeah, he's got that bugaboo going. He's late on a lot of these throws.
Yeah. God, man, he had two man. I get it. You had the three man combination on the left side. Just safeties, you know, dropping to his half coverage. But then, you know, just reads them and gets them. Turnovers.
Yeah. And you know what, you know, what's interesting about it too, what's interesting, Steve, is that I think Kyle Shanahan pretty much laid out the fact that Mullins is on a short leash as far as the turnovers, very short leash, but if you have a game like this where he's actually not playing that bad and then he throws one of those interceptions, do you just pull him? It's kind of hard to do that when he's not playing terrible.
No, you can't do that. I mean, yes, he made that mistake that he's been making, and maybe we're all unfortunately waiting for it, but I don't think you can pull him. But I think now you're out. You have to give Beathard a chance.
At this point, yeah, for the next game, right.
For the next two games. I mean,
yeah,
he came in completely cold, slinging, got the ball out of his hand right away. No indecision, just got it out. Just, okay, this is where I'm going, get it out. And, you know, goes 5 for 7, and, okay, yeah, we'll take the Hail Mary because that was a spectacular play by Kendrick Bourne.
That was amazing. That was even better, I thought, than the Hopkins catch for the Cardinals. I think he took it away from two or three defenders. I think Bourne had like four defenders around him.
He's in the middle of four guys and just goes up and gets it.
Too bad that wasn't to tie the game, and you know, it's just too bad.
Yeah. The onside kick hurt.
That was a disaster, yeah. But that was unlucky, too. It just bounced right up.
Yeah. You know, I was saying to Christoph and I were talking about it today. I was saying to him that, you know, Robbie Gould had been trying that kind of helicopter, you know, kind of low to the ground, like the neighbor hater firework. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. Those ones they spin on the ground and they shoot up.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those, yeah.
But Robbie had tried that. It seemed like Robbie had tried that kind of whirly bird along, you know, kind of hard ground ball to field. And I was saying to Christoph that he went back to the traditional pop it up in the air, which is easy now for the defenders to catch because the kicking team technically can't blow them up, and they don't have a running start. They don't, you know, they've made all these changes for safety reasons. But I was saying to Christoph that, God, maybe he should have stuck with it. Maybe he should stick with that kind of helicopter ball, you know, flat along the ground, just because it is a, you know, it's like a ground ball with a sideways spin on it that's hard to field. Anyway, it is what it is. It popped right in that guy's hands, and we were out of our lanes, and, you know, he runs back.
And CeeDee Lamb, I mean, he's a pretty good receiver, and he's the guy who ran that back on that outside kick. So, yeah, once he gets the ball, you're in trouble to begin with. And, you know, we get this stat actually every week on our CBS telecast of onside kicks in the NFL. And you realize how tough it is. Coming into this week, NFL kickers were 3 for 58 as far as having successful onside kicks. So it's almost impossible.
Yeah. And they showed a stat, and I'm not going to get it right, but basically it was that a traditional onside kick, I'm going to call it, hadn't been recovered by the kicking team since 2017
for the 49ers. Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, maybe it was the 49ers. Maybe that's what it was.
It was the 49ers. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
And yeah, so it's been 3 years since they, you know, that's why you can't really rely on that. Yeah.
No. So, turnovers. Everything else was great. Third down might have been our best of the season. Third and fourth down, 7 for 16.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Might be close to our best for the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, way more first downs than Dallas. Really good offensive performance again by Brandon Ayuk, who actually Kevin Harlan was mispronouncing his name. He's calling him Ayuk. It's Ayuk.
Ayuk, and he is good. I mean, he is good.
9 receptions, 73
Such
yards.
Such a good receiver of the ball. It's that's a special one.
He's only going to get better too. I mean, he's a rookie, so he's only going to get better. Bourne had that great catch that you talked about. Richie James, you know, found some openings. I like what Richie James was doing when there was a little scramble drill going on. He seems to know how to do that now. Like, he's gotten better in that, because that's a skill in itself that I wanted to ask you about, Steve. If you're breaking away from the regular play and you're the quarterback, I mean, you need receivers that can find, you know, some space so that you can hit them when the play is broken.
Yeah. So the key is to have like the outside most guy when you're scrambling to the side of the scramble. The outside most guy to take off and go deep. And then the other two guys, let's say there's three on one side, you know, kind of maybe turn them upfield or turn them back inside their defender and then slide back toward the quarterback, toward the sideline. You know, so you have this kind of low, medium, high progression as you're scrambling toward the sideline.
Okay.
And there's no question there's an art to it of taking the defender, and as Homer would have told us, depositing him at the bank and then get open.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, you see that sometimes with the receivers, and I especially notice that, Steve, with tight ends too, the good ones. I mean, and I think Jordan Reed, Ross Dwelly, and of course George Kittle. I mean, the 49ers are blessed to have, you know, great receivers that do that. They can find openings because, you know, you have a route, but it just seems like some of these guys have a knack. And Brent Jones was like that, where he would just figure out a way to find an opening that you could hit him.
Yeah. Ross Dwelly is obviously getting a lot of time and is getting better every week, not only at blocking, which he does a lot of, but it seems like route running. Seems like he's a pretty natural pass catcher, you know, kind of receiver of the ball. Jordan Reed is really good. I mean, I hope he can stay healthy and they can have him and Dwelly and Kittle next year, because this kid knows how to run routes. He knows how to catch the ball. He knows how to get himself open. He seems to be darn good.
Yeah. Reed had a nice touchdown catch too. That was,
That
was pretty good.
It was a nice catch. It was an even better ball, a better throw.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying before about Mullins, how at times he looked really good. But, you know, those turnovers are what remain in your head when the game's over.
Yeah.
That's all you can think about.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I was talking to Christoph about it, and I commented that, you know, Mullins, he doesn't have a big arm. And I likened him to Bill Musgrave.
Oh, and he was playing quarterback,
When he was playing quarterback, Billy Moss did not have a big arm, but he was really good because his anticipation of where people were going to be was uncanny, and he could drop that ball, you know, put some air under it and drop it into a spot where he knew that receiver was supposed to be.
That's a great skill. You know, you're making me think. I was thinking of Chad Pennington too, who didn't have a great arm, but remember with the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
But he could just float it in there, you know, perfectly accurate.
But it hurts Mullins because he's, you know, kind of waiting for guys to get themselves open instead of throwing them open.
Yeah. And that's when you get in trouble, right?
Yep. These guys are way too fast, way too big, way too strong.
Yeah. And you know, it's too bad, too, because they are. It's too bad because they really had a good game running the football at 150 yards. Oh. I mean, you know, you've listened to me talk about Mostert the whole time and Wilson and how much I really like those guys. And then, you know, Mostert gets hurt again. I mean, he's been hurting. His ankle is bugging him. But if they're healthy, they're in good shape next year. Mostert and Wilson are pretty good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and I still I'm not maybe McKinnon has lost a step with the two ACLs, but gosh, he comes in there and CJ gets him the ball right away. I mean, he is a really good receiver of the ball coming out of the backfield.
And that's maybe where they use him, you know, next year. Yeah, I mean, mostly in that like role.
A third down back, you know, in a throwing situation where, yeah, he can still help block, but gosh, if we got to get a fifth guy out, I want to give him the ball in space.
Yeah.
He's going to make somebody miss.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandra Fell has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They are a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com. Now on the defensive side, Eric Armstead had one of his best games. It had to be his best game of the year.
No question.
Yeah, he had a couple of sacks coming in. He really didn't have many opportunities. It seems like to me, Steve, that he's been double-teamed a lot. And in this game, he was able to figure out how to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, he for sure had his best game of the year. He had two sacks, and I think they said he only came in with two sacks. So, defense, spectacular game. Let's face it, period. I mean, they got it done. I mean, yeah, Dallas got 24 points, but they ended up getting 41 points, but 24 of those points were in a short field off a turnover. So,
yeah.
Defense was really good. Mosley played well. I mean, a lot of guys played well, but Mosley, who had been out, you know, comes back, plays well. What was the safety's name?
Tarvarius Moore? He was out there.
Tarvarius Moore. I mean,
because Ward got hurt. You know, remember, he got hurt.
He got banged up, but he came back in, played well. Witherspoon. I thought Witherspoon played well.
Oh yeah, I mean, he seemed like he had a couple of good pass breakups. Yeah,
you know, in for Verrett, defense was they were their spectacular selves, I thought, and it's really unfortunate.
The only guy I've been shaking my head about a little bit, and I don't think he's lost that much. I know he hasn't been 100% really since he's been a Niner, is Richard Sherman. He had some missed tackles there that were a little bit baffling to me. What'd you think?
He did. I would agree. Definitely not his best game. When he has to come up and make a tackle, support the run, I think he's done pretty good for someone who's known as a cover guy. He seemed willing to me to stick his nose in there and get it done. Yesterday was not one of his best games.
No. The big picture, Steve, when you think about having 28 players on the injured reserve, it's really something that we've never seen before. I mean, this is one of the worst seasons I've ever seen since I've been watching the 49ers as far as injuries. It started right away, the beginning of the year, losing so many key guys. I don't even know how to really judge this season. You know, they're not going to go to the playoffs, but it's a team that really played hard and played well when they had some of their players healthy.
Yeah, they've played hard. I still think it's a testament to how much depth there really is and has been. I mean, God, like you said, I mean, it started after, I mean, Sherman gets hurt after week one, right? I don't think he doesn't play in New York in game two, does he?
I don't think he did. He missed a bunch of games.
He misses a bunch of games.
Eight games but or something lose, like
you lose Solly in game two. You lose Bosa in game two. You lose Jimmy G in game two. You lose Mostert in game two. I mean, yeah, they've been back in between, but...
yeah, you lose Kittle.
They've had a lingering season-long injury.
Right.
So it's a testament to all the other guys and the depth of this team. And, you know, that's really a testament to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and the whole organization.
Yeah, because I think, you know, Debo Samuel being out in this game with a hamstring, I just think, the guys like that, I mean, who are real key guys, you can name 7 or 8 or 9 real key guys that have been out, that if they're on the field all together, this team could have been a Super Bowl contender again. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
No question. I mean, that stat, I don't know if it was, definitely wasn't this Sunday, maybe it was last Sunday, but, I mean, of the 10 guys that touched the ball in the NFC Championship game last year, none of them were on the field 2 weeks ago, and not this past weekend, not yesterday's game, but last Sunday's game. I mean, Jimmy G, Mostert, Kittle, Debo, Juszczyk, and Dwelier. I mean, those two guys were, I thought they were awesome yesterday. Obviously, they didn't make, Juszczyk makes a big catch play down the sideline kind of late, but I mean, these guys are flying all over the place. The way they were running those kind of off tackle plays, and they switched it up as to who was blocking the backside guy, was mostly Dwelly kind of in a short motion. You add all those playmakers to them. I mean, shoot, Tevin Coleman comes back yesterday.
Yeah, I know. You know, another guy came back. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the fact that the Niners didn't have a home here? I mean, they've been playing in Arizona. They're going to play a road game in Arizona now against the Cardinals, but their final home game is also in Phoenix when they play Seattle. Yeah. So, I mean, I know Fred Warner came out and said that's not an excuse, but it's still not easy to be displaced like that, I would think.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, and Tim and I were talking about, like, I don't even know if the families have gone down there, you know, and kind of gotten in the bubble like they did in the MLB World Series. I honestly don't even know, but it's either way, it's got to be hard. You're living out of a suitcase and in a hotel for it's almost like training camp. You know, staying in a hotel, practicing, you know, within walking distance basically of where you're staying, playing within walking distance of where you're staying. I don't know. It's got to be weird. The whole year is weird. The whole season is weird. But everybody's having to adjust to some abnormality.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little last week. Now, what do you do as far as, you know, you got two more games, and if Jimmy G or George Kittle are healthy enough, do you try to get him in there, or is it not worth it to do that at the end of the year? What do you think?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think you bring him back now. I just don't see it being worth it, you know. Because then they get hurt again. Then it takes them into their losing some of their off season, which, you know, who knows what that looks like at this point. You know, do we have? I mean, most of those guys are not going to get. According to the CDC guidelines, most of those guys aren't getting vaccinated until, you know, late April, May, June, whenever.
Right.
You know, the 20-something year olds. I don't think you risk it of them getting hurt again and cutting into their off season and their preparation for next year.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan discussed some of the injuries with the media on Tuesday. And as it turns out, Nick Mullins has a serious elbow injury, and he is likely to have surgery, so he's out the rest of the season. Deebo Samuel is also out for the last two games of the year with a hamstring issue, and they're also going to sit down Raheem Mostert, just shut him down for the last two games. Now, as far as quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, he has been getting healthier and healthier, and Shanahan was asked if he is in their plans to play at all the next 2 weeks.
No, he's not. I mean, that's only if, the doctors tell me it's 100% safe and he feels good, and I'd be very surprised if that happens. Right now, he's safe to go out to practice, which we're only having a walkthrough today, but it'll be fun for him to throw the ball around a little bit tomorrow, but we're going to be very safe with him this week, and we'll see next week, but I would be very surprised if that changes.
George Kittle is also on the mend and on his way back to playing, and the question was posed to Kyle Shanahan, why play George Kittle at this point?
If he's healthy, I just don't see the reason why not to. I mean, that's the same as every other player on our roster. You know, it's if you're healthy and you're not risking something, I mean, we would never ask him to play injured or anything like that, but he had a good week of practice last week. Most of the soreness was going away, and we're definitely going to test it again this week. But when you have a guy, if he's 100% healthy and stuff, how do you sit one guy and then look at everybody else and I on the team? I mean, everyone else out there probably isn't anybody playing out there 100% healthy right now. So it's when you are, there's a respect level that players have towards each other, and everyone goes through this whole thing. I mean, players risk every time they step on the field, no matter who you are, you're risking your career. That's what's tough about the sport, and that's why I don't think players get paid enough, even though a lot of people disagree with me on that. I think when you, there's not many people in the world who can do what you do, and you're risking your future every time you go out there. And that's no different for George. It's no different for all the other 52 guys on our roster. So obviously I don't want to get George hurt or anything like that. And that's why we're going to be overly cautious with it. And that's why we have been. But if someone's 100% healthy, I can't look the rest of the team in the eye and tell them they have to play, but George doesn't. So that's just part of having a team and part of treating people the right way.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. We'll have more 49ers Extra right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. By the way, when you get you end up with a losing record and people start thinking about, oh, you might want to lose more games for a higher pick, I really hate that situation.
No.
Look, the Jets won and their fans are mad because they won a game. Because now they wouldn't get Trevor Lawrence. We'll see. There's still two more games, but
who are the Rams? Like, who are they?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Nobody could figure out who they are after that loss, but and they lost twice to the Niners, yeah. But
they lost twice to the Niners. They lost to the Jets. That's a team that I'm not sure who they are.
No, I don't think they know who they are after that loss to the Jets. But I mean, I think there's a solution to this situation. I actually tweeted out about this. I say that the teams that don't make the playoffs, you list those teams from 1 through 18, the 18 teams that don't make the playoffs, and that's the number one pick, the best team of the teams that don't make the playoffs. That way, you play to win, because if you're not in the playoffs, you could get the number one pick. That's just my thinking, is that you do something different.
Do something different
to incentivize trying to win games instead of lose games at the end of the year.
Right. No, I like that idea.
Yeah. All right.
I like that idea.
Maybe we can get that going. I did tweet it out, so we'll see. Final thoughts here. Kevin Green, a Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame linebacker, played one season with the 49ers, passed away here on Monday, and I know you had a chance to be his teammate, and you also played against Kevin Green. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah. I honestly just maybe an hour ago just saw that another former teammate, Bubby Brister, sent it out to me and a couple other guys that all played together. When it's somebody who's your age, somebody you played with, it hits home. I texted him back and he said that he didn't see anything about how or why he had passed. But, Kevin was a larger than life character, even early in his career with the Rams, who were, in the mid to late 80s were really good. We played him in the NFC Championship game in 89. So they were and he was a starter from a young age and played at least 15 years that I know of, because he ended up with me in my last year in Carolina. I know he played in Pittsburgh. I know he played in L.A., played in Carolina. I know he played in Green Bay.
Yeah, from 85 to 99, so that'd be 15
years.
Okay,
so he ended up with me then. That was his last year in 99. That was my last year.
Yeah, and I was looking at, he also played in the Super Bowl, the 95 season with Pittsburgh, ended up losing in the Super Bowl to Dallas.
In 95, they lost to Dallas, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a great career that ended up in the Hall of Fame. And he played one season with the Niners, and it was a memorable season, 1997.
Oh, that's right.
The Niners went 13-3 that year and won the NFC West.
Right, and I was in Green Bay, and we beat them in the NFC Championship game. That's right. I forgot he also played for the Niners. That's right.
And so that year, the Niners, they lost in the NFC Championship. Wow.
Championship game, 98.
97 season, 98 championship game, yeah. So that's a sad one.
And, that's really sad.
Really is. One last thing. I did want to pick your brain. I had mentioned last week about all those great 49ers Cowboys games. Do you have one or two particular memories when you were with the 49ers? Because it did come down a lot of times to the Niners and Cowboys for who would end up going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what did they say the most during the telecast? The two teams that have played the most against one another in an NFC Championship game, I think it was seven times.
I think it was the most, yeah.
One of them would have to be 92 season. We lost the championship game to them at Candlestick. But on the first play of the game, Mike Shanahan had a play that was ready for a fault of theirs. And I'll be damned if we didn't score on the first play of the game. It was a sloppy Candlestick track, and we score on the first play of the game, and it gets called back for a hold.
Oh.
And we go on to lose. They obviously win the Super Bowl. I think they beat Buffalo. And then the next year, they have a better record. They get home field advantage, and we have to go to Dallas, and which is January of 94. And they put an ass whooping on us.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest things that I remember. And then they played them again, obviously, in January of 95, 94 season.
And that would be Steve Young on the way to the Super Bowl.
Steve Young, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of times it came down to the 49ers and Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years in a row in the NFC Championship game. Obviously they had very good teams. We had very good teams, but, those are the two biggest, those are the two things that popped in my head when you asked the question.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just the catch. It's Dwight Clark. I mean, I'm never going to forget that. And that image, iconic image. And, it's just something that anybody who has been a 49er, I would think, just always knows about it because it's talked about so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was neat to see and I think I saw it on Twitter last night, Patrick Willis reaching out to Lawrence Pillars about his play after the catch.
Yeah, because the Cowboys might have scored a touchdown to win it if he didn't make
exactly
the play there, right? A tackle,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of neat. I mean, I knew the history of the Lawrence, but it was kind of neat to see that Patrick didn't know that history and reached out to him and connected with him. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, Steve, look forward to talking about next week's game against Arizona. There's a team that's fighting for a playoff berth, so Niners could be the spoilers and, you know, kind of set themselves up for what they're going to look like for next season, I guess.
Yeah, for that bottom 18 teams that might get a first-round pick. First pick.
Yeah, see, it could have been a lot different. I think their pick could have been better under my scenario, but but nobody's going to listen to that. But, I mean, it's something to talk about.
never know.
You never know. All right, Steve. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.